Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
Release me.
Release me.
Release me.
Oh, take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
Release me.
Release me.
Oh, take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
What's up, Chicago? Let's go. It's about to go down. Come on, come on, Israel. One time.
Hey, no limits!
No limits!
The hottest radio show in the land. Taking the limits off is on the air. That's right, we are on the air, and we are broadcasting live as always. We are broadcasting live on this Friday from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, from the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, the one, the only, Minister Dana L. King in the studio. I'm excited. I can hear. I'll be all right. I'm excited as always to be here with you. Oh, there we go. Okay, now I can hear. I'm excited as always to be here with you all one more time on this Praise Break Friday. We're going to have a good time today. Y'all might as well come on in and get ready and hang out with your boy. We're going to have a great, great show tonight. Our topic tonight: should worship be physically expressive? Should worship be physically expressive? That's our topic of conversation for tonight. I hope y'all ready for it. I think I am. Matter of fact, I know I am. I think I've been on this because I've been teaching. Well, I'll talk about that in a little while. But yeah, so should worship be physically expressive? That's our topic of conversation for tonight, man. Be ready and get ready to join in with us. Look, let me give you the rundown on how you can make that happen. If you are already listening on the line, all you got to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer, the one, the only, Latonya Melton, on the other side of the glass. She will check you out. Best producer in the land will check you out. Make sure you got some semblance of the Holy Ghost. She's going to check you out, and then she's going to get you over to me, and then you can be live on the air with your boy. If you're listening via Block Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. That's your call-in number. 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. One more time for the Holy Ghost. 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. If you are if you want to email the show, you can email the show, taking the limits off at comcast.net. You can email the show, taking the limits off at comcast.net. One more time, email the show, taking the limits off at comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can tweet the show, O Radio. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O, at TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. That's right, you can follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then I believe the live stream is up and running somewhere, probably. Yeah, my computer is doing something else, but the live stream is up and running. You can definitely find us on Facebook Live, facebook.com. Again, same thing, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Don't forget, too, we are an iHeartRadio partner, so you can also find us on your iHeartRadio app. All you got to do is do a simple search for the TTLO Media Group station. Not only will you find the TTLO Radio show, but you'll also find Healthy Soul Talk, which is returning at the end of October with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Real talk, real issues, real solutions with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. And then every Thursday, you'll find Grindology with Lisette Herndon every Thursday. All of your marketing, branding, small business, entrepreneurship, startup, non-for-profits, anything you need for your business, Lisette can help you get you, can help get you there. So make sure you catch all of those shows on the TTLO Media Group Network. I want to send a shout out to my brother, Pastor Harold Washington. I think I saw a picture of him on, what you call it, he in Cancun, huh? All right, now in Cancun, just you know, I think you got the quarantine when you come back though, or something. But he down there in the Cancun. I ain't mad at him though. He living his best life right now. So I am not mad at him. But stay safe down there, sir, and enjoy yourself. And you know, have a little communion for me. That's all I got to say. Have a little communion for your boy. But man, I'm excited to be here, man. So much stuff is going on. I want to. That's outside. Okay, thank you. I want to. I'm like, did I push a button? I want to. Real quick. That's a lot going on. I saw that the community people put a $10,000 reward out for the shooter of the 8-year-old. I didn't see the video until today, I don't know who they were shooting at, but it was a black Dodge Charger pulled up behind their car. They got out the car, shot up the car, got back in the car, and drove off and killed this 8-year-old baby. No, I did not see the interview with the dad. Okay, is that something I need to see? And you're not on the microphone. Anyway, I am. It is. That's what I thought. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all I'm glad, I should say, that they were able to put out a reward, and I'm hoping that somebody turns these people in. So we can get. Some closure, man. But again, 8-year-olds have no business. I mean, nobody has any business getting shot. 8-year-olds just shouldn't happen. Just shouldn't happen. But I want to go a little further. And y'all, come on, y'all. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in to the TTLO Radio Show, Taking the Limits Off Radio. So you all know this. This happened. I guess it happened Monday or Tuesday. Bob, what's the guy's name? Not Woodard. What's my man's name? I can't think of the name's name. But he's got this book coming out called Rage, about Donald Trump. And so the book is being released, and he did 18 interviews with Donald Trump over the course of 2019, all the way through 2020. And Bob Woodward, that is his name, Bob Woodward. But he did 18 interviews with Donald Trump. And in this thing, man, look, this is not a political show. We talk about politics, but we're not a political show. I'm not here to tell anybody how to vote or any of that. I will say this, though. It's not because I don't like Republicans. I have friends who are conservatives, so it's not that I don't like Republicans or anything like that. But I'm sorry. How can you consciously support this individual? I don't understand how you can consciously support this individual. He out and out lied. He said one thing to the reporter. He's one of those people. He's a media whore. And so he likes being on camera. He likes things being said about him. He does. And he wants all these things. So he got real comfortable. I'm gonna tell you what happened. He got real comfortable with this reporter. And so he says to the reporter stuff that he would not say to us. And it's not that. And again, I'm not even the biggest Joe Biden fan. But I would vote for Homie the Clown for president before I would vote for Trump. Yeah, Homie. I would bring Homie back and vote for him before I would vote for Trump. I got to say this to y'all. If this man had just said in January, when he found out how serious this thing was, had him and his administration just said, hey, you know what? There is something that we do not understand that's coming. That's not panicking. That's being a good leader. There is something that we don't understand that's coming. And for your safety, we're going to suggest to you guys to start wearing a mask now. And then come February, guess what? We're going to mandate that you wear a mask now. Would that have would 190,000 plus people still be dead? I don't think so. If they had said social distancing in February, because I can tell you right now, we were still going to work in February. We were still going out in February, still going to stores and movies in February. We were still hanging out in February. We were still doing all those things in early March. We were still going to work in early March. We were still going to school in early March. Had they shut some things down early on, could that have saved some lives? All of the statistics from all of the different scientists say yes. They say yes, we could have saved lives if he had been more forthcoming. But again, he's saying to this reporter on tape, and this is not the media. And so all these people talking about fake news. Y'all, look, don't miss me with the fake news. Miss me with the fake news. This is not fake news. They have your boy on tape. And he talking real good. He's saying, yeah, I wanted to downplay it. I wanted to keep it under wraps. I want to keep people guessing. I want to keep down a panic is what he said. So I'm going to downplay the seriousness of this thing. Really? That's what we're doing. We're downplaying the seriousness of a virus that as of today in this country that we know of. Because, see, that 190,000 ain't counting the ones that have died that we don't know of yet. Because the problem is we didn't have testing in February. We barely had testing in March. So anybody that died in February, March, we don't know what they died from. We don't know what they died from. We have no clue what they died from. So to suggest anything different is asinine. So I'm not buying it. I'm not going. But this guy is, you know, I just hope this. Y'all show up and vote. Show up in November. Vote early. If you can early vote, vote early. If you can mail in your vote, whatever. Because this is not the time to be playing around. This guy is dangerous. The only reason, I'm going to tell you this right now, the only reason Donald Trump didn't raise holy hell about this virus in January and February because he was told that if you shut down everything, the markets will crash, which they did. The markets will crash, and he loves the economy. That's his main thing, the economy, and the economy for the rich folk, not the regular folk. He loves the economy so much that he was willing to sacrifice American. He was willing to sacrifice lives. Think about, use your own common sense. Why would we send hundreds and thousands of masks to China in February and not be telling our own people we needed to wear a mask in February? Think about that for a moment. It doesn't. It's not rocket science, people. It's not rocket science at all. What it is we have a clown as president, and because we have a clown as and when I say clown, I mean that wholeheartedly, bozo, whatever you want to call him. We have a whole clown, bozo, cookie, wizzo, whichever one you want to call him. He is a whole clown, and he's going to get more people killed. This is not a scare tactic. Too many folks got sick that didn't have to be sick. Too many folks died that probably did not have to die. These are facts. This is not hyperbole. This is not hypothesis. These are facts. Too many people died that did not have to die. And because of his lack of initiative, people closed their eyes and went to too many people died. We could have shut down nursing homes earlier. So, you know, again, he could have reached out to companies earlier and had them start preparing the stuff that we were going to need, the cleaning products and all those things. So they could have been doubling up their efforts before everything got shut down. But no, he's trying to maintain this economy. I'm over that. I just want to move on. I just want to put that out there. You know, it's going to be more stuff to drop from this. It is. More stuff is going to drop from this. But I am just I'm beyond. I saw this thing and I've watched it until I couldn't watch it anymore. But I am beyond over. Let me say it that way. I'm over him, his administration, and get them all out. Get them all out. And then because here's the deal. When Trump is gone, all of these tag-alongs who are following Trump just to get tweets and follows and likes, right? All of these people who were just trying to get followers and likes. Here's the deal. If you're black and you're a Donald Trump supporter, yeah, black folk ain't gonna want to have nothing to do with you. But you're going to get a whole lot of white folk that's going to be like, oh, my God, you're so awesome. You're so brave. You're so this, you're so that, whatever. In the words of Leonardo DiCaprio, on Titanic, when Rose jumped off the lifeboat and jumped back on the boat. You're so stupid, Rose! That was on yesterday, by the way. I'm just like over. I'm over that. I'm over that. Anyway, you all. Also, today, man, today marks the 19th year of remembrance for September the 11th. September the 11th, y'all. It's the night. That does not seem like that was 19 years ago. 19 years ago. That's crazy. 19 years ago, man. 2011. Do you remember where you were? Oh, your microphone ain't on. I'm going to need you to get some batteries, do your stuff over there. No, I'm going to need you to get some batteries. And they over there by you. You were in college? Okay. Well, you can't talk to me right now. But do you guys remember where you were? Do you remember where you were when 9/11 hit? Do you remember where you were? I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday. Like that, even though first of all, it doesn't feel like it was 19 years ago. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. It does to you? Yeah, it does. It doesn't feel like it was 19 years ago. It feels like it was more like maybe 10 years ago. But man, 2001. Because I remember it very, very clearly. I remember very, very clearly where I was. I remember exactly where I was. I remember exactly what part of the house I was standing in. I remember exactly what I was watching on the news. I remember exactly I remember all the words that were said, all the words that were spoken. I remember the phone calls that came through. I remember all that, just like it was yesterday. So it's one of those poignant moments that make you pause just to say. So you said you were in college.
I was in college. Mm-hmm. I did the early daycare at a school,
mm-hmm.
and I was coming back home back to my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing it, but they didn't have any like definite news. And I went to sleep because I was pregnant with Jalen at the time. So I went to sleep, of course. And I woke up and one building was falling.
Mm-hmm.
And the next building was soon to come later. But I was looking and it was like the day the earth stood still.
Wow.
And I think I called. I did call. I did call Jalen's father because he was on his way to Virginia that same day.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to know. Hey, buddy, did you make it? Or mm-hmm. did your,
right.
Were you on the flight and did you make it? That was like a concern of mine,
right.
And everything. But that was it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I remember Felicia says I was another new mom. I was on maternity leave, watching on the news, and I thought it was a movie, didn't think it was real. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what where I was with it, Felicia. I was up in my living room. That was in the midst of, I had just got married that year, the first time in 2001. So this was September. So you know, Labor Day had just passed, and I'm in the living room. You know, up and watching TV like I always did. And the news, I've always been a Good Morning America dude, even from back in the day. And I'm watching the news and I see the I saw the news interrupt about the plane crashing. That a plane had hit the first tower, and so that's where they broke the news story. And I'm like, oh wow, that's like, man, that's crazy. And while they're broadcasting it, you see the other plane hit live, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, is this? And Felicia, I'm the same way. I'm like, was this real? Did I really just witness this whole jet hit this airplane? And yeah, that's pretty much what it was. And it was crazy. And it was you talk about silence. And then I started thinking about, I have a lot of friends that worked down. At the time, I didn't work downtown. I worked in Oak Brook. But Priscilla, Denise, Sharon, and quite a few other people worked downtown Chicago at the time. And so they all worked in high rises. And I remember talking to Lovey on the phone, and he was like, they were all being told to evacuate the buildings because there were some planes. They weren't sure where planes were going. And I remember going to work because I didn't think I was going to have to go to work. Brother, I'll be looking for a reason to get like, is they closing? is this a call in day? And I remember driving to Oak Brook, and it was the most eeriest drive, driving down 22nd Street, and it almost felt like it was no traffic. And it's the weirdest thing, no airplanes, because they had grounded all the planes. And you know, if you live in Chicagoland area, if you live in Illinois, anywhere in Chicago suburbs, surrounding suburbs, you see a plane every 5 minutes in the air. There's an airplane everywhere, either going to O'Hare or to Midway. There was not one plane in the air. And then all of a sudden you see jets fly across. And I was like, oh my God. And then to get to work, so I worked for Comcast at the time, what we know now is Comcast. It was still AT&T Broadband or Media One. I can't remember which company it was. But I remember sitting there. So in my office, we had TVs. We had a wall of televisions because it was the cable company. And I walked in, and everybody was standing in front of the television. And so, you know, of course, this is Comcast. You know, we always busy. The phones were dead. Like, there was nobody on hold. There was nobody taking a call. Everybody was sitting there. And, of course, you know, people were emotional. People were crying. And it was just the craziest thing, man. I remember that just like it was yesterday. Patricia says, I was putting breakfast dishes in the dishwasher, getting ready to leave for work. With the news on, I saw the first plane hit. The newscasters were trying to figure out what was going on. With the second plane hit, I remember saying that this was no pilot error. This was deliberate. My God. What's up, Sheridan Davis? God bless you. I said, wow, it's crazy. I remember it like it was yesterday. And, you know, everything that followed. I remember the planes being grounded for a couple of days, just like you saw nothing. You know, and then people were even – everybody was in a, like, humbled spirit. And then you had – that was the one time that I can remember – that the country felt like everybody actually cared about everybody, because when those towers fell, it was just Americans. It wasn't black or white. It didn't matter. And then the fact that we found out that there were babies who had just gotten dropped off in the daycare center at some of the places. And there were, you know, all these other people who, you know, tonight I was watching the news before I came in. They showed the people who got out, and the lady, I guess she was the 18th person to get out of the building. And so she had been coming back. So they were talking to her, and her first time going back to the site afterwards. And it's just amazing, man. Just the, you know, and then to hear all the chilling horror stories of people who were jumping out of the building because they knew that they didn't want to burn up. So they just jumped out of the, you know, they jumped out of windows. Then to hear the stories about the people on the airplanes. You know, of course, the flight 93, of course, the one in Pennsylvania that ended up crashing because the people decided to fight back. You know, then you had the one that hit the Pentagon. Right. That one. Then you had, you know, and then there was then for a minute they had all different places. Like they at one point they didn't know if they were trying to come here. You know, so that's why, you know, they grounded the planes instantly. It was just a somber moment. And then I remember seeing that shot of the American Airlines flight plane and the United Airlines plane at the airport. They were both sitting there together with the American flags flying because everything was grounded. It was just something to see, man. It was a scary moment, but I got new comments. Let me refresh. Oh, let's see. Sheridan says, I was a child. I was completely terrified. Oh, my God. Wow. Felicia says, I worked in the Sears Tower. My coworkers were stuck trying to get in the trains for hours. Daniel Jones says, can't believe it or not, Doc. I was in school at the time. We watched in dismay with great sorrow. Wow. 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 Bless you, Danny Jones, man. Man, I ain't seen you in a minute. It is, man. I think that's one event. Like, I don't remember where I was when Hurricane Katrina hit. I just remember watching on the news. I don't remember the circumstance. I just remember people saying Hurricane Katrina was coming. But when 9/11 hit, I think everybody you ask who is of age to remember can tell you exactly where they were when they got the news. And then I just remember, I applaud George Bush. I've never been a fan of George Bush Jr., but I applaud George Bush. He was reading some stories to some first or second graders, I believe. He was at a school visiting, and the person came over to him and whispered in his ear that a plane had hit and that it was deliberate. And you could see the teacher's face turn bright red because she heard it. And it was like, wow. But he kept – he didn't panic. You know, now, yeah, they say, where was he? He was in the air. You know, they took him out. He went to Air Force One. And then, of course, they kept him in the air because, you know, they didn't know if the White House, because they had the plane that was headed towards D.C., and they didn't know what it was trying to hit. Was it the Pentagon, or was it trying to hit the, you know, they didn't know what was what. So I wouldn't upset about, you know, they saying, well, where was he at? Why was he flying over this? Well, that's what they're supposed to do with the president. So, you know, I understand that. Y'all, come on. Y'all get over that part. Felicia says, I listened to Trump's speech today for 9/11. I looked a little side-eyed because I wished he had the same words of sympathy for recent events. You know what, Felicia? It is – side-eye is a good word. I wanted to cuss, but I didn't. Side-eye is a good word, though, because it's not a – this is the same president that lied about what he saw happening at 9/11 in New York. That he out and out lied and said certain things were happening in New York on 9/11 that did not happen, absolutely did not happen. So he's been lying from from day one. Same dude. So yeah, Felicia, I get it. He's not. You're not gonna get any. You're never gonna truly. It's not even like empathy at all. Even when the reporter asked him about white privilege. And how he thought that, you know, he had gotten where he got because of his advantages and everything. He wouldn't even admit to that. Like, he wouldn't even admit to that. Like, how many of us could have benefited from our fathers giving us $1 million and saying, here you go, go start your life? How many people could benefit from that? For your father to give you at 25 years old or whatever, for your father to hand you $1 million and say, okay, here you go. Now go do the best you can. Now me at 25 with $1 million, a whole fool. But still, I wouldn't have ran through it all. But you know what I'm saying? But how many people could benefit? But he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand, and he's never going to understand his privilege. No different than the people last night at the football game. They played the first game last night, and so the Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs, they came out and they lined up to show a sign of unity, and the people booed. The people booed. It's like, you're booing for what? Unity? They didn't kneel. They stood up, and y'all booing. But again, this is Missouri, so, you know, there you go. This is Missouri, so what do you expect when you're dealing with them folks? Because some of them folks, this is still Missouri, right? So we're not surprised by their actions or how they act or how they respond. So yeah, man, y'all just I just thought about that, man. I'm glad people remember this, and you know what? It's something to be. I just remember. You know what else I remember too about that 9/11? How packed churches were that those next Sundays after 9/11. Churches were packed because people were truly scared because nobody knew. People were scared. You remember that? I remember people being scared to fly. You say you're still scared. Are you really?
I don't like to fly anymore. I mean, I'll do it, but.
Was that because of this or period?
I think that one just added to it because like the last trip I took was Vegas.
Okay.
And I kind of felt some anxiety like I was about to act like one of them Caucasians. They'd be like, "Get me off this plane," but I didn't. I do know now that, like, you know, if I do want to fly, that I might just need to take some and just be knocked out. But
just be
like,
take it before you get on the plane and be asleep before you take off.
Yeah, because I am checking. I'm looking, and like, you know, now we got coronavirus, so I'm like, okay,
yeah. Yeah.
It was just another stressor.
It was difficult, man. And I feel sorry for the people who were from the Middle East and who were, you know, wrongly like being singled out. People looking at them funny because they're getting on the plane wearing a turban, and it's like, you know, it's unfortunate. But man, I do remember. I'm trying to remember that I fly, because I got. For some reason, I think did I fly that October? I think I went somewhere that October, if I'm not mistaken, like right afterwards. I had tickets were bought already, I think, or something. But yeah, it was different, man. It was different. Was anybody else? And thank you for sharing that. Was anybody else afraid to fly? I know a lot of people were afraid to fly. I know people who said, "I'm driving." People said, I ain't getting on no plane. I'm gonna drive where I got to go. I'd rather drive for 6 hours than to get on an airplane. Because the thing about it, you never thought about how vulnerable you were on an airplane until 9/11 had hit. I was never afraid to fly. I was never afraid. I had been flying. My mom had been putting me on the plane, I think, since I was like 9 years old. You know, they put me on the plane, and the people would be there waiting on me when I got off. So I was used to flying. But I did have a fear. I had a fear of and the thing about it was, I wasn't just looking at people who looked like they were Middle Eastern. I was looking at everybody. Everybody got the side eye from me. What did I do with the remote for the light? I don't even know. But everybody got the side eye from me. I wasn't playing no games with nobody because it you know, anybody looking suspicious, you know, because you don't know what people were doing. Because we had domestic terrorists too. So you don't know what they're doing, right? But yeah, I was checking. I was like you, I was checking for everybody, but it was a nerve wracking time. So but man, to God be the glory, we made it through it. You know, the airlines bounced back somewhat, but it was a difficult time for the country and for individuals, man. And I'm sure people still today have a healthy fear of flying. To God be the glory. Pitt says, "I still say that, but it's cool. Ride. I'll drive." That's all right. That's all right. I still like road trips, though. I'll take a road trip. I mean, but I'll fly. Like, you know, you can't drive to Jamaica. If I thought, you know, you can't drive to Jamaica. You can't. You know, you got to get on the plane. You can't. You can drive to Mexico, but I don't know, like, how you go. Like, can you drive to Cancun? Like, I guess you could. It's in Mexico. That's just that's a long drive. And in certain parts of Mexico, you don't want to drive through. So, you know, I'd rather just land over in there and then land and fly on up out of that bad boy. Anyway, what time is it? It is 7:35. So I'm just excited about it. Look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about our topic for the night. Should worship be physically expressive? I'm talking about why. So, again, I came in tonight not knowing we were going to talk about because I've been busy trying to with sermon prep. all week, so between sermon prep and teaching Bible study, you know, I've been a little busy, so I didn't look for articles, you know, so but this worked out, and it kind of coincides with what I've been teaching, and show you how God worked. It's going to deal with some about what I'm going to be preaching about, if everything stays right between now and late Saturday evening, Sunday morning. This is what we're going to be talking about. But should worship be physically expressive? That's our conversation for tonight. We will be right back, y'all, in a few minutes. It's the TTLO Radio Show. Two T's, one L. Come on, Vashon. Give us some of this station after you. Chasing After You, Vashon Mitchell. Great, great, great praise and worship song. I'm chasing after you. No matter what I have to do, I need you more and more. Man, look, y'all, let me do this too before we get there. I was going to say it on Monday, but I guess I should say it today. So y'all, we're going to do a little preliminary, early, preemptive birthday wishes. My mom turned 70. I gotta stop saying 70. I find myself saying that a lot, and I used to didn't do that. I don't know what that's about. But my mom turned 70 on Sunday. On Sunday, she will be 70 years old, man. So y'all do me a favor. Y'all wish my mom is on. Well, y'all can't. I was gonna say y'all can find her on my page, but she easy to find. So my mom turned 70 on this particular Sunday. So yeah, maybe we'll put something up on the TTLO page, and then y'all can send some birthday wishes that way on Sunday. We'll have that up for y'all, and on my Elder King page, we'll do all that good stuff. But y'all wish my mama a early 70th birthday. So yeah, I'm excited for her. We both had milestones. We both celebrate. That's the cool thing about when you and your mom are on those even years apart, you hit those milestone years at the same time. So like when I hit my 40s, she hit her 60, and when I hit my 30s, she hit her 50. So it's like all those milestones. When I hit 35, she hit her 55. So that's what's really cool about it. So I'm looking forward to where'd that picture come from? Huh? Oh, okay. That's my Sunday go to meeting picture. but yeah, so she turns. So yeah, we've hit all our milestone birthdays in the same years. So I'm looking forward to like when I do 55, she'll be hitting that quarter century. That's 75. That's gonna be a good one. So yeah, so we've hit all those together. So that's been kind of awesome. So. Her birthday is Sunday, and I already told her I'm taking her out. I'm taking her out to a little dinner. We're just gonna take her out, even though she don't like going out to eat no more. But I'm gonna take her out, and we're gonna spend some time together, and hang out on Sunday after the church, after I leave the church house. So, anyway, y'all do that. Wish my mama Cheryl King. That's her name, Cheryl. Say Cheryl like my grandma used to say, because she wouldn't say Cheryl. But that's Cheryl King with a C, not with an S. And y'all just touch that. Anyway, we got this great article. This really good article, man. Ask the question: should worship be physically expressive? Should worship be physically expressive? And it's so interesting because I've been teaching Bible study, and week four. And I got one more week. So, So, what's wrong? Oh, okay. So, I've been teaching Bible study. So, I've been teaching Bible study using praise and worship and talking about praise and worship. So, right now, we're talking about the physicality of it, actually. We're talking about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice for worship and praise. That's been something we've been talking about because God just kind of put that on me, and I'm excited that's what we're talking about with praise and worship. So we're going to continue to talk about that. So, but the question is, should worship be physically expressive? We talked about this. We talked about using your body in worship, your hands, your voice, your mouth, your feet, your legs, your body, praising him with the dance, praising him with hand claps, with raised hands, laying prostrate, bowing, kneeling, all of those different body positions of praise and the importance of it, man. So I'm excited to talk about this tonight. Again, the article is simply entitled, Should Worship Be Physically Expressive? And you all know why we do this. So let me just jump on into extending the point. We just can jump on into it. The article simply says worship. Come on and put your hands in the air. How many times have we heard that statement from an author? Come on, put your hands in the air. Come on, put your hands in the air. Come clap along with us now. Clap along with us. We've all heard those terms, right? The words echo through both arenas and sanctuaries. They're spoken by pop stars, pastors, and concerts and worship services. And it's understandable that people sometimes wonder if worship leaders are simply imitating entertainment culture in asking people to respond. Worship leaders, and myself included, quickly and always quick to point people to the Psalms, frequent admonitions to physically express praise towards Yahweh. But those less inclined to physical expression wonder why they can't simply worship God in their heart. That's always the question and the response I give people. Well, if I'm not clapping, it don't mean I'm not worshiping. If I'm not clapping, it doesn't mean I'm not praising. That's fine for you to have that. For you to have that perspective, and I'm not going to try to change your mind about it or any of that. But the question is this: after all the passages prescriptive telling us how worship ought to be, or how they are merely descriptive telling us how worship is or was in ancient Israel, the writer says a friend of mine, Richie Fike, raised a question on Facebook recently, querying if people thought Psalms contain permission, suggestion, or commands to clap, dance, shout, and more. The response is varied, but as we continue the conversation offline via text, it got me to thinking about the physicality of worship. So again, the question gets asked, should worship be physically expressive? Before we even get to the rest of the article, y'all putting in the comments real quick. Do you think praise and worship should be, part of your praise and worship should be physical? Do you believe it should be physical? Let me know in the chat real quick what your thoughts are. If you want to call in and talk about it, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. If you want to call in and give me your opinion about whether or not you believe praise and worship should be a physical thing. Again, 323-870-4375. If you call in and you do want to make a comment, go ahead and push 1. That'll let me know that you want to actually have a comment while we're on the air. But let's look at these. Let's take a look. The writer says, at it through 3 lenses. First, the hermeneutical lens. So first, he wants to talk about it through, and I like this. I like this because he broke it down. I love the way he broke this down. He says, first, the hermeneutical lens, the hermeneutical lens. And again, hermeneutics, so for you all to know, hermeneutics is simply the theory or methodology or interpretation of biblical text. That's what hermeneutics is, right? That's what hermeneutics is. So it's just a biblical interpretation. That's what hermeneutics is, right? So I don't want anybody to start worrying about, I don't understand what you're talking about with no hermeneutics and all that. That's all hermeneutics is interpretation of scripture. So the writer says the Hebrew scriptures were broken up into 3 categories. 3 categories. There was the teaching, which was the Torah, the prophets and the writings, and then the Psalms. The Psalms are not, the prophets and then the writings. The Psalms are not part of the Torah, right? They are not law or instruction. They fit with the writings along with many other books of poetry, wisdom, and allegory. The injunction in the psalm to sing, shout, clap, lift our hands, and more are first culturally contextualized ways of the people of God interacting with their covenant God. Let's make sure we got that, right? So it's not the book of the law. It's not any of that. That's not what this is. But we're going to continue because y'all going to learn. We're going to learn together tonight. But all of this is not to say, the writer goes on to say, that the Psalms cannot teach us. Yes, ma'am. Oh, that the Psalms cannot teach us. Thank you. Oh, we got a bunch of comments. Let's see. You can't argue scripture, but we do have to properly divide it. To God be the glory. Pitt says, yes, God, giving God your all, I worship with my all. That's right. Angela says, I believe it is somewhat physical. I do, if not, but a tear, excitement, something is making me do something, move something, etc. Felicia says, I think it should be on an individual basis. I used to imitate others until God checked me, never again, because they may be faking too. Okay, Felicia, I get you. Let's keep going because I want you guys to keep the comments coming. And again, feel free to call in. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. So the writer says this. He says, so we turn to the theological. What do these passages say to us about God, about what it means to be his people? A writer, Eugene Peterson, makes a compelling case that the 5 book of the Psalms were designed to chorus with the 5 books of the Torah. Come on now, watch this. He says, if the Torah is God's revelation, God speaking to us, then the Psalms are how we answer God. Oh, this is good. Y'all don't miss this. If the Torah is God's revelation and God speaking to us, then the Psalm is how we respond or how we answer God. Huh? Peterson writes this in his book called Answering God. He says, moreover, the Psalms show us how to admonish one another in worship. How we should admonish one another in worship. How we should respond to this great God that we serve. He says, we call one another to worship. Right? We call one. That's why, and I've been trying to teach you all this for years. That's why when somebody says hallelujah, whether you use the word hallelujah with an H or hallelujah with an A, the word itself is not the highest praise. Hallelujah is a call to praise. So if someone says hallelujah, that's a call to praise the Almighty God. It's how you respond to who he is. And I'm sorry, if I'm at a Bulls game, old Bulls, if I'm at a Bulls game and the greatness of Michael Jordan is on display, ain't nobody got to tell me to clap. I'm gonna let that sit there. If I'm at a concert, and my favorite artist is on the stage, ain't nobody got to tell me to clap because I'm celebrating that person's greatness. Y'all don't hit me. So if we're talking about the great God, the the all in all, the Elohim, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, then if I can clap for Jordan, oh y'all don't hit me. If I can clap for Beyonce, if I can clap for Kirk Franklin, if I can clap for Donnie McClurkin, then you telling me the God that woke me up, I can't use my body for him? Oh God. Yeah. I want y'all to get this. I want y'all to get this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. It's so important that we get this. It's so important that we get this. The writer says this. He says, we join with a great company of worshipers, and we're never alone in worship and prayer. Then he says, finally, the Psalms give us language for prayer and worship. It gives us the language we should use. It tells us the words we should use. Come on now. He says they open up a whole vocabulary of the soul and all of its emotions. He goes on to say much has been said on this throughout the centuries, but the focus has been nearly always on the words. What if the Psalms do not simply give us a language, but also gives us actions, things to do, ways to embody our worship, prayer, and praise? Can we pause there for a moment? When David says these words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, how do you sit there? How do you sit there? How do you sit there when David says, I will bless the Lord at all times? How do you sit there? I don't hear nobody. How do you sit there when, as the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, can I go back to what I said earlier? When I think of the greatness of Michael Jordan, when I think of how good Teddy Pendergrass used to sing, when I think of how good Luther used to sing, when I think of how great they sound, it didn't take nothing for me to clap my hands. So what you're telling me is when I think of the goodness of Jesus, how can you sit there? How can you not respond? How can you not respond? Angela says, but you see, everybody hasn't gotten there yet. Keep teaching. Keep giving him praise and live authentically for him. Don't worry. Somebody will get with you and come to know him. That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Sister Pitts. You said you got to read it for yourself. This is why it's so important. And I'm going to tell you this right now. This is why I honestly believe so many churches don't see breakthroughs anymore. I think I'm all in where I'm going to be on Sunday. But this is why so many churches don't see many breakthroughs, because they forget what the Bible teaches us about praise. How to praise, when to praise, why to praise. Ah, my God. Come on, come on, come on. The writer goes on to say this. He says, we are integrated beings. I like that. Integrated beings. Meaning, he says, I'm not a spirit who has a soul and who lives in the body, despite the, you know, all that stuff that we were taught. He says, I'm a unified being, three in one, or something very like that. He says, when two persons interact, they do so on a physical, mental, and emotional levels simultaneously. The writer goes on to say this. He says, furthermore, one could make a case that as intimacy deepens, so does each dimension, body, soul, spirit. For example, the New Testament teaches us that becoming one flesh with another is to become one spirit with them. Sexual intimacy is not simply something that happens in hearts. The mingling of souls comes with the intertwining of bodies. Come on now. Come on now. Huh? Look, I don't mean no harm, but I got to teach it like I feel it. If it's good, you just can't lay there. Let me just lay that right there at y'all's feet. Y'all can take that however you want it. If it's good, how can you just lay there? Huh? Huh? I'm going to teach it like I feel it. Y'all know how I do. I'm going to say it again. If it's good, huh? How can you just lay there? How can you not respond Watch this. Physically. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Look, 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 look. I'm just using the word. I'm just using the word. I'm just using the word. It's that intimacy with God. And once you become intimate with him, how can you sit there and not acknowledge how good he is? You just can sit, oh, God, well, yeah, well, is God good? Yeah, he's good. He's good. God is good. Huh? Now, we'll do backflips and swing off chandeliers for that Negro or for that woman or whoever. We'll do all that. But then it come to God, we sit there. Huh? Huh? We are y'all hanging on shower curtains and well, I guess they stopped doing that, but y'all hanging on shower curtains and all kind of stuff. But when it come to God, we just sit there. I don't hear nobody. Huh? Angela says, unfortunately, when your focus isn't, she says, the audience of one, you will get flustered, and for years the worship leader sweats their clothes out because you're too busy primping and pumping. She says, look and live a life filled with worship. If you're anointed, somebody will catch fire. And that's just it. First of all, it's not the worship leader's job to pump and prime you for worship. All the worship leader is responsible for is helping lead you, to guide you. But I shouldn't have to remind you, oh, God, help me now. I shouldn't have to remind you how good God has been to you. So if I'm going to follow with what Angela said, all I can do is show you in my actions how good he's been to me. Oh, glory to him. Huh? Sister Pitt says, glory, you got to move. Give God. That's right. Lift him up. What's up, my brother, Dr. Charles Brown? God bless you, man. Long time no see. Come on. The writer goes on to say this. He says, there is something of a parallel in our encounter with God. It is not simply a spiritual encounter. Worship is an embodied act. We do not simply worship the Lord in our hearts. We do so with our whole integrated being. Paul said, I present myself. I present my body. Come on now. As a sacrifice. Oh, my God. That means even if I'm going to look crazy in the process, huh? Watch out now. Even if I'm going to look a mess in the process, I'm going to give God what I got in here. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's just like when y'all used to go to the club and y'all song would come on. I ain't going to say something, but, you know, there's some songs. I can't even pretend to pronounce that song on this here radio show. Huh? Right, we're not going to even pretend that happened either. But y'all know there's some songs. There was some old house heads on here, and there was some songs that used to come on. There's some, and y'all would lose y'all's mind running to the dance floor. The DJ didn't have to say, come to the dance floor. He didn't say nothing. Y'all just ran to it because that was your song. That was my jam. That's my joint. That's my stuff. That's what y'all would say. So you telling me when you're sitting in service, first of all, if you're in service and your mind is on God, you ought to already have a worship when you show up. First of all, if the praise and worship leader shouldn't have to pump and prime you because you ought to bring your praise with you. Uh-oh, I'm going to help somebody. Your praise ought to come with you. Huh? It ought to show up with you. And see, I bring my praise and my worship with me because I'm expecting God to do something when I get there. Glory to him. Woo, my God. Come on, come on, come on. The writer says this. He says, but there's one more thing. He says, we see it when we look through the final lens, the practical. So we looked at the hermeneutical. We looked at the theological. Now we got to look at the practical. He says, neuroscience has taught us something about something called proprioceptive feedback. Let me say that again for the people in the back row. Proprioceptive feedback. Let's see. Come on. Come on, comments. What's your Right. She said house music is holy. I know, right? Look, that house music bump is just like a Holy Ghost bump. Huh? I just need you to have that same energy. I need you to have that same energy. Have that same energy. Angela says, when I think of all he is to me, I can't help but worship. He's good and he's been kind. He's so much. Yeah, that's right. You got to go. You cannot sit there. But let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let me keep this thing going. So the writer says, there is a term that's taught in neuroscience. And it's called proprioceptive feedback. Proprioceptive feedback, and all that is, it's just an exercise to improve balance. That's all. That ain't, it's a big word, but it just means improving balance. It ain't nothing to throw y'all off. It is a nice word though. Proprioceptive. Say that a couple of times. But the writer says this. He says when we physically act in accordance with an emotion, we encourage it. Sing when you're happy, and your joy will be multiplied. Ah, my God. Come on now. And when we act in contradiction with an emotion, we discourage it. When you're angry, take a deep breath, slow down, smile, and the anger dissipates. Think about that for a moment. If I'm happy, but instead of showing you that I'm happy, I'm going to sit there and frown up because I don't want to let the happiness overtake me. Again, we're talking about balancing the emotion with the physical, right? So again, let me say that again. He says, sing when you're happy and your joy will be multiplied. You know when your jam come on and all of a sudden your hands, you be like, hey, you know when it just hit. And your hands just go up without even thinking about it. Huh? You know some of y'all, look, some of y'all look, I know my man is locked up and all that kind of stuff. But y'all know, y'all can be in y'all car right now. And you could be turning on the stuff, and I know they done muted the dude and all that stuff. But I can tell you right now, some of y'all in the car, and all of a sudden you hear my mind's telling me no. Some of y'all will lose y'all whole mind. I almost had it too. I felt it. Some of y'all, right, I ain't gonna try it again because, you know, if I try it again, I'll lose it. So it has to flow naturally. I can't just do it. That's why I'm not a singer. Because if I could sing, I would just sing all the time. But every now and then, it just flow out, you know. But when you hear your song, your hands just go up. It's like for those of us who took, you know, who took certain vows and all that. When we hear certain stuff, you know, it just happened. I stopped it, but you know, that hop just, you know, it just goes. You know, it does. It just goes. But you know, when you get excited. And your stuff hit, ah, my God. And your stuff hit the way, you know, when it just hit right, you know, sometimes, come on, hey! Huh? You know when you come on, it ain't. If you could get excited for the other one, if you can get excited all, because it's just about it. Look, when you think about how good, come on now, come on. Hey! Come on. That's what I'm talking about. How do you sit on that? And it's not about, look, and I want to go back to Felicia's point, because you're right, Felicia, some people do be faking it. They just want to be seen and all that kind of stuff, you know. But to a greater point, if it's about God, come on, Felicia said anything, Teddy P. I know that's right, because I could be sitting there and, boy, look, I don't care where. Let Teddy P come on to my son. Looking back over the years, I guess I shedded some tears. Hey! Told my... Oh, let me leave it alone. See, I was... But another fight. Things ain't right. Okay, I'm through. But see, you know, you get excited. You get excited. You get excited because that's what you're supposed to do. Sing when you're happy and your joy will be multiplied. Okay, so then the writer goes on. He goes on. Come on, y'all. This is good. This is getting good to me. The writer says, he says, fine, you might say, but that doesn't mean that we all confirm or contradict an emotion in the same way. Maybe singing makes your happiness greater, but it doesn't for me. Okay, well, you'd be surprised, the writer says. The gestures that correspond to emotion have a surprisingly universal application. I'm glad I got a couple of therapists on here with me. Sociologists tell us that we mark sadness by a slow walk with a downcast head and with a halting speech in the lower registers of our voice. Anthropologists have studied facial expressions in various global contexts, including those of pre-literate tribes who had no prior interaction with the outside world, and discovered that surprise, sadness, and other emotions meant predictable configurations of the eyes, mouth, and jaw. So when you take those two things together, how actions confirm or redirect emotions, and how universally applicable many of those actions are, we may find in the Psalms practical wisdom for our worship. Huh? Y'all stay with me. Come on now. I'm trying to help y'all get through this thing. Y'all come on in here. Huh? Come on. Come on. Come on. Dr. Brown says when praise is personal, the reaction is automatic. Come on, sir. Now you come on, preach now. That's a t-shirt. Yeah. When praise is personal, the reaction is automatic. Yeah. See, if you're trying to get your praise off my praise, you're going to sit there and look at me crazy. But if your praise is personal, woo, glory to him. How about? All right. So the writer says, we clap because it awakens your soul to the reality that God is victorious, that God reigns victorious. We sing because there's more to life than what we can see. We shout because pain is burning us. Oh, okay, we're preaching now. Because pain is burning us on the inside. Or because the joy is breaking through. My God today. Come on now. We lift our hands because we're either empty or because we are surrendering. Woo! Glory to God. Y'all better come on and help me. This is why you cannot sit still. It's not about, it don't take all that. Huh? You're right. You can say it don't take all that. But you know what I think about? When people tell me it don't take all that. Can I take y'all somewhere? Because see, when people tell me, you know, Dana, I know, but that's just not how. That's just not in me. I don't have that in me to. I'm not finna do that. I'm not gonna do all that. And that's fine, because you can have that mindset that it don't take all that. Because you know what? I think about Jesus. Ah, glory to him. I think about Jesus making the choice. Y'all heard what I'm saying? Making the choice. Can I say that one more time for this person that's sitting in the balcony in the last row? When I think about Jesus making the choice, it didn't take all of that. He could have just said, you know what? I ain't finna go down there and die for these hard-headed Negroes. Lord, guess what? You can just start over. Snap your fingers. Uh-huh. And what's the next verse? Snap your fingers what? Oh, right. That's what I thought. Snap your fingers. and start this mess all over again. But he said, I know it don't, but because I want you to get the glory, oh God, I'm willing to suffer. Oh my God. See, but y'all said don't take all that. But because I want you to get the glory, I'm going to allow myself, oh God, to be humiliated, to be punished, to be killed, to be beaten, to be mocked, to be scorned. I'm going to allow myself. So while you sitting pretty on the bench at church, can I borrow your line for a minute, Angela? While you sitting pretty with your Yves Saint Laurent suit on and your Saint John suit on, sitting on the aisle because you two, because it don't take all that. I beg to differ. Ah. Glory to him. I beg to differ when you say it don't take all that. Let me tell you something. It takes that and more. Huh? David said, if I could look more foolish than this. Ooh, glory to him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to help somebody in here today. I'm trying to help somebody in here today. Somebody going to get this before I leave here today. Come on now, elect lady says, you can't help but praise him because it is personal. Yeah, and it's not that I have to say, and I shouldn't have to say maybe he ain't done nothing for you, because I know he did something for you, because I still see you walking around here with your selfish self. You're too selfish. The reason some of y'all can't praise is because you're too selfish. Ooh, I need to write some of this down. I'm going to need this later. Have to come back and listen to this show later. That's why some of y'all can't praise him, because you're too selfish. Ah, you don't want to let yourself be seen. You don't want to let that thing out, because see, maybe you don't understand. See that, God. Maybe you've forgotten. I praise him. Watch this. Not because of what could have happened. Ah. I don't praise God for what could have happened. Let me say this again for somebody who might be listening. I don't praise this for what could have happened. I praise him because I know what should have happened. Ah, glory to God. I praise him because I know not that I could be dead, but I should be dead. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I praise him because I know if it was not for the grace and mercy, I shouldn't be here right now. Not that I couldn't be. I shouldn't be here right now. Woo! So you ain't got to never pump me. You ain't got to never prime me. You ain't got to sing the right. You ain't got to sing the right song. You ain't got to do none of that stuff. I know in my heart of hearts that every day that I get up and walk and I can breathe in some air, I know it's only because of his grace. My God. Let me get back to the article. Come on, where am I at? I done lost where I was. Okay. He says, I like this. Because some people say, well, what if I don't feel none of that? What if I don't feel none of that? You talking about the I can't sit still part from Angela? Or was it another one? Let me see. I thought I saw it. Uh-oh, hold on. Let me see. Angela says, yeah. She says, I can't make you feel it. Grandma said I wouldn't have a relationship that I couldn't feel sometimes. That's right. I know that's right. She said, I got to get mine. He's been so. Come on now. She says, you can't tell it. Let me tell it. God has been just that good. Let me say, it takes all of that and some. Uh-huh. But I like this. Because we want to talk about, well, I don't feel like that. Uh-huh. I like what the writer addresses. The writer says, and even when you feel none of these things, you may do these things, for the feeling may follow. Uh-oh. watch this. You might not feel it, but if you do it, it might turn out on the other side. Oh, God, glory to him. He says sometimes joy needs to be chastened by the bowing. By bowing the knee in confession. Even if I don't feel like it, maybe I need to just go down on my knees anyway. Oh, my God. Huh? Sometimes, the writer says, sometimes sorrow needs to be shaken off by dancing in protest of its power. What does that mean, Dana? That means, you know what? I might be going through hell all week. And even though everything in me tells me it makes no sense, for as sad as I feel, for as beat up as I feel, for all of the things that are going wrong in my life, it makes no sense for me to dance. But guess what? I'm going to dance anyway. Woo! Ah! Glory to him. I'm going to dance anyway. Huh? Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Ooh, I need to get all of this. I need to come back and get all this for Sunday. I want y'all to get this. See, it's not, the writer says, not all must dance, clap, or kneel, or shout. But see, the thing is, go ahead and do it anyway. Go ahead and do it anyway. Why? Because he deserves it. Come on. God deserves your praise. Come on now. He deserves your praise. Come on. Come on. Dr. Brown said, Dr. King, man, I need to say, last week I quit one of my jobs because they cut my hours. They called me back today with my original hours plus some. Woo! A raise, and told me I only do paying me for this week. Come on now. Come on, sir. Come on in here. Yes. Come on. See? Watch this. His praise ain't got what happened to him ain't got nothing to do with me. But see, I can praise him for what he did for him. I can get happy and excited for what he did for him. See, the reason some of y'all can't get no breakthrough, because you only want to shout when it happens to you. I just did something for about at least 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 11 people. I just helped somebody. See, y'all only want to shout when it's beneficial to you. Glory to him. But see, if you can shout when somebody else get a blessing, oh, glory to God right now. If you can shout when somebody else gets saved, if you can shout when somebody else gets delivered, when somebody else gets a breakthrough, when somebody else is set free, if you can shout then, my God, today, if you can shout with them, then guess what's going to happen when you shout? Huh? Guess what's going to happen when your time comes? Ain't nobody going to be able to stop you. Huh? You stopping yourself now because you won't shout for somebody else. I can tell you right now, if I wasn't doing this show, Dr. Brown, I can get up and run. I can go down in this sanctuary right now. Matter of fact, I can take this camera right here and run a lap through that sanctuary for you right now. We might lose the connection, but I'd run a lap. We might not, though, but I'd run a lap through this sanctuary right now for you. That's what I'm talking about, because that's something to be. That look. God is God, and he's good. I ain't getting nothing out of that. I don't get none of that check that he's getting. I don't get none of that. But guess what? I can get happy for him. Woo! See? My God. Come on, let me. Y'all got me hot in here now. Y'all got me warm. So the writer says, not all must dance or clap or sing or shout. And we certainly need not do all these things in every service. The Psalms do not offer us commands about how we must worship. Rather, they give us insight into the nature of worship and embodied act. My God. Let me see what we got. Elect Lady says, we were created to praise God. If the robin can say thank you can do it too. Let everything. Ooh, come up now. Look, don't start, Elect Lady. To God be the pit says, had to leave the room. My praise break. That's right. I'm just trying to get warmed up for Sunday. I needed this myself. Yeah, just show you how God worked. We didn't have no article when we came in here. We didn't know what we were going to talk about. We didn't, because I was sitting at home struggling, trying to get this sermon together for Sunday. We didn't know what we were going to talk about tonight. And this thing just was, I clicked on the church leaders page, and it was the first thing smoking. And I didn't even read it. I just said, I like the title. Let's go. Huh? That's how God worked, though. That's how he worked. Y'all better get with this. Come on now. Let me read this again. He said, the Psalms do not offer us commands about how we must worship. Rather, they give us insight into the natural, into the nature of worship as an embodied act. So watch this. We getting ready to close this thing out. We on time for real. The writer says this. He says, so the next time, glory to God, the next time your worship leader exhorts you to clap or raise your hands, remember that he or she is joining a long line of worship leaders who call us to worship God with our whole beings, with our emotions, and with our bodies, and not merely with our hearts. Come on. Come on. Woo, my. Come on now. He says, we certainly cannot extrapolate from studies about gestures and emotions or facial expressions and emotion to say that all physical actions in worship mean the same thing. They don't even mean the same thing in different contexts. He says, but it is enough to make us wonder if there is some wisdom beyond the context of the Psalms for clapping, singing, dancing, and more. Y'all can't look here. I'm sorry. As long as I got breath and life, come on now. I'm on. Look here. When I was in the world, I gave the look here. The club had all of me. When I was in the world, I gave the club all of me. Huh? Sweated out my good club. Well, I didn't really sweat because I was, I was cool. But I was in there though. But you can't tell me that the God you serve don't deserve some physical response. Huh? Come on now, you can't tell me that because watch this. Now put some of y'all on the spot. Now I ain't saying nothing. It's only 8:30. I got to get my own ticket. But some of y'all done went and played y'all a Mega Million, and some of y'all done went and played y'all a Powerball for tonight and tomorrow. You telling me if your number hit, huh? If your number hit, you just gonna look at the ticket and be like, oh, that's, well, thank you. That's wonderful. That's huh? What are you laughing at? I know that's right. You telling me if your number hit, y'all just gonna be like, oh, that's okay, wait a minute, 7, 15, 34, 16, 5, 4. Oh, I just won $65 million. Oh, that's wonderful. Look, bless the Lord. That's all y'all gonna do? Uh-huh. No, you might try to hold it in because you don't want nobody to know. But see, I'm sorry. When the Lord blesses me, scratch that. When I think about Jesus, he ain't got to give me another if he don't do nothing else. Oh my God. If he don't do nothing else, come on now, y'all don't hear me. If he don't do nothing else, come on now. The song says, if he don't do nothing else, he's done enough. Y'all don't hear what I'm trying to tell y'all. This is who he is. If he never does anything else for me, he's done enough, and I'm gonna praise him for the stuff he already did. And again, I'm gonna go back to what some of y'all been saying on this chat. It's gotta be in you. It's gotta be personal. You gotta make this thing personal. Let me give you some application. Look on the inside of you. Don't look in the mirror. Cause see, that's all fake, phony, and we got dents, scratches, cigarette burns, all that kind of stuff. Y'all, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Knife wounds, bullet wounds, all kind of stuff. Tuck points, all that. All that stuff. I'm saying, look down on the inside of you. Because see, when something is down on the inside of you, God, thank you. I want to talk to that thing that God planted on the inside of you that you won't let nobody see. I'm gonna help somebody. See, here's this thing. When you watch, oh God. When you pregnant. Watch this. I ain't never been there, so I can't help you. But I can just tell you what I've seen. When you're pregnant, you know, right? You find out. The rest of us don't know. Huh? But after a while, whatever's on the inside starts to make itself known on the outside. Oh, God, y'all don't get me. What I'm saying is God has put some anointing in each and every one of you. I'm helping somebody right now. I might be helping myself. God has put an anointing in each and every one of you. But the problem is we're trying to hide it with our coat. Oh, God. We're trying to hide it because we don't want nobody to see it. Or we're afraid that if we let that anointing show, we're going to have to lose some stuff. Oh, God. We got to cut some stuff off. I want to walk in my anointing, but I want to keep. Tom, Sally, Boo, and everybody else. But see, God is saying, I put this thing in you, and you're trying to put out the fire that I put in you by keeping all these other folk around you. And God is saying, let that anointing that I planted in you a long time ago, my God, let that anointing, look here, the reason you still here is because you have not yet walked in the purpose that God, you, ha, I need to rewrite. I wear my pencil and my pen. I got to need my laptop, something. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this because this is all, I'm going to be all in this on Sunday. Oh, my God, glory to him. Huh? I'm trying to help the peoples today. I can't. Ah, my. Y'all need to get this. Y'all need to get this. There, the praise that's on the, look here. It's in you because God placed it. And the only reason it is not coming out, come on now, the only reason it's not coming out is because you are afraid to let it out because you want to be in control. You want to be in control. Stop trying to control. Let that thing that God planted, let it take over. And watch what happens when you let it take over. Watch what happens when you let it guide you and you not try to guide it. That's it. That's it, y'all. That's all I got. That's all I got for tonight. That's all I got. I got to save myself because I feel like I want to say a whole lot right now, but I can't. Pat says, when you worship mindfully, your praise will take shape. It doesn't matter what form of fashion, dance, cry, clap, shout, or stomp. That's good. I gotta stop for real, cause I gotta stop. I gotta save some of this for Sunday, some kind of way. So I got. I need to make a phone call. That's what I need to do. I need to call. I need some help for Sunday. I need some help. I need to text Adam. I know they got a singer coming, but I'll pay him out of my own pocket. I need to text Adam. What you talking about, 90? Oh, is that time? Okay. Yeah, I need to text Adam. I need, in the words of my mama, I need some hope. I need a little help. I need a little help. I can feel it already. Oh, my God. Yeah. Let me, anyway. Breathe, stretch, shake. Come on. Anyway, I'm excited, that's it right there. See, oh God, you cannot be afraid. I'm gonna say this and I'm done for real, and I'm gonna pray and we going home because I feel like I'm finna say too much. You can't don't let the don't let the story end on at the page you own. Ah, that's good. Don't let the story end on the page you own. God is about to turn the page to your next. That's it right there. To your next chapter. That's it right there. I ain't gonna even have to text you. That's what it is. The next chapter. Ah! Huh? That's the title. The next chapter. Huh? Huh? What did I tell you? I sent you a title. I sent you a scripture. I ain't sent you no title, did I? What's the title? I sent you a title? What did it say? Today? Not today? See how you do? What? Oh, That's a bad title. No, that was something I wouldn't say. That's it, though. The next chapter. That's it. I might play with the words, but that's it. That's going to be it right there. I just got that right here, y'all. That's going to help somebody. Yo, it's either going to be your next chapter, whatever. It's going to be in there somewhere. Something to do with it, that's it. Just. I felt that. Oh, my God. All right, I got to go. I got to go for real. Y'all play too much. I got to go. Yeah. Woo! God's about to move you from your now into your next. Come on, see? 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 All right, let's go. Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you. God, we just thank you, God, for being you. Lord God, we just thank you for being you. God, we thank you just for being you. God, we thank you for Jesus. Ah, glory to him. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you impregnated inside of us, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that drives us, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that motivates us, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that encourages us, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that pushes us, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that drives us to our next thing, God. Lord God, we just want to say thank you. Glory to him. Lord God, we recognize that we can't do anything without you. Thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us. God, I just want to say thank you. Lord God, I thank you not just for my right now, God, but I thank you for my next. Ah! Glory to him, God. I thank you for I thank you for turning the page, God. I thank you for the next chapter, God. I thank you that I didn't die at the end of the last chapter. Hey, glory to him. When I should have died, when you should have took me out at the end of the last chapter, God, I thank you for my next chapter. Glory to God. Hey, all right. In Jesus' name, I got to go. Amen. I can't even mess with y'all. I got to go for real. Woo, glory to him. Man, look here. Woo, it's heavy. Woo, it's so heavy. I wish y'all. Ooh, boy. I can't. When is tomorrow? Tomorrow Saturday. Ooh, okay. All right. I think I'm gonna do some good writing when I get home. I think I'm good now. Now I know why that scripture worked. Now I know why it worked. Anyway, man, bless y'all for tonight. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank y'all for tuning in. Sally Hogan, God bless you. I miss Sally Hogan. I tell y'all, boy, mama, I'm gonna say it again. I miss my Thursday crew. Oh, we didn't delete from probably the other day. Anyway, we're going to get ready to get out of here, y'all. Y'all stay blessed, man. Look, if you got to drive through this, look, if you get a chance, tune in on Sunday. Y'all tune in every Sunday anyway, but tune in on Sunday. I'll be bringing the word this coming Sunday here at Ebenezer. Service time starts at 11 o'clock. Y'all tune in, man. We're going to have a great, great time. In the words of my mentor, if Lord willing and the creek don't rise. If you got to drive through this special city we call Chicago, do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters. Keep your head on a swivel. We out. With your hands up.